Easter is one of my favorite Sundays, and I want to welcome all of our first-time guests for being here. Thank you so much for choosing to be at Christ's Legacy, choosing to worship with us on this Resurrection Day. If you're a first-time guest with us, I want to invite you to fill out one of those guest connection cards. It's digitally online. You can find it at that QR code at the back of the seat directly in front of you. Just simply scan that QR code and fill that form out so that we can have a record of you being here. We want to say a big welcome to you, and we have a gift for you located in our Connection Center following the service this morning. So we want you to stop by and pick one of those up as our appreciation for you being here with us. You know, Easter really is one of my favorite services because as I look out here, I see like everybody looks just a little bit sharper today. All the pastel colors, the button-downs, the dresses. And I think if I look out here, I can see that a few of you have even ironed this morning. Come on, somebody. You look great. And if we're going to be real honest for our kids, Easter is about one thing, candy. Now, we're working on that. They're hearing about the good news right now. But for the kids, it's candy. And if you're a parent in here and you have children, you are just doing everything that you can to try to keep your kids from eating like 47, jelly bellies before lunch today so that they don't spoil their lunch and then just bounce all over the walls during lunch. And I understand that because, you know, candy is important. And I'm not knocking candy because everybody knows that Reese's peanut butter bunny, that's the real deal. That's the superior candy. It's just a fact. We're just telling you how it is. And for those of you that even though we keep on reminding you, do not bring chocolate for our Easter egg hunt, and you still bring it, and you still choose to bring Reese's, God bless you. God bless you. That's pretty much the reason why I volunteer to stuff eggs every year. And by eggs, I mean myself. But if candy and bunnies is the only reason that people celebrate Easter, they've missed it. Because the reason for the season is simply this. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose again, all so that you and I could experience the life that we were created to have. Can I get an amen? See, the problem is simply this. There's sin in the world. And you and I have been born into sin. And that sin wasn't just the big mistakes. It wasn't just the obvious stuff. It was the little things too. It was the thoughts that we thought. The words that we spoke. The things that we did that were out of place. The relationships that we injured. The people that we hurt over the years. Things that we did that we couldn't make right even if we tried. And God knows that we've tried to make things right on our own all of our life. But if we're honest today, each and every person that has walked into these doors knows that they've tried and they can't. Everyone has felt the weight of sin hang over their heart. You've all said, I wish I could just be right again. But there's nothing that we can do on our own. And so many of us have just tried to find a way to live with that sin in our life. But it's not something that you just get stronger to handle. It's something that eats away at your very soul. But the good news is simply this, that Jesus came. We couldn't do it on our own, and so he came to help us do it for us. Jesus didn't come just to teach us good lessons. He didn't come just to tell us how to live a more effective life. He came so that he could live a perfect life, die the death that you and I deserved, and he rose again. And his life that he rose into wasn't just to say that he's alive. It's a life that he rose again into so that he could offer that life to us so that we could be with him forever. And that's the story that you and I are about to see this morning as we see this drama. You see, as we see this drama, it's not just a drama for us to watch, but a drama for us to participate in. Because in just a few moments, the lights are going to dim, and you're going to see perhaps flashing lights. And for those of you that are sensitive to flashing lights, I just want you to be aware for your safety. There will be flashing lights, but there's more than that. I don't want you just to watch this to watch it. This story is not just about the people back in Bible days, but it's about you and I here and now. Because as you see people celebrate, that's us celebrating. As you see the brokenness on display up here, that's our brokenness. And as you see the cross, you'll see a cross that was meant for you and I, but a cross that Jesus bled and died on so that we wouldn't have to. But there's more than that. You'll see a resurrection. And that resurrection is a powerful moment. It wasn't a quiet moment. It was a moment that you and I get to celebrate. And so right now, I want to practice with you really quickly because this is an interactive drama. You didn't know this, but you've become actors this morning. Are you ready to act? There's some of you that said, I've been acting ever since I put on this shirt, Pastor. You're doing good. Hang in there. I want us to practice this morning. So we're going to practice. You're going to see things flash on the screen, and you're going to repeat it. You're going to help us be a part of the crowd. You're going to see the word Hosanna. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to say Hosanna. You ready? One, two, three.
Hosanna.
Let's try it again.
Hosanna.
Now say it like you mean it. There it is. And you're going to see crucify him. And we're going to shout crucify him. Because we've all shouted Hosanna before. We've all shouted crucify him before. We've been in both crowds. But today, I want you to do more than just watch it. I want each and every one of us to feel it, to live it. And I'm going to pray that we do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And right now, we ask that we would open our hearts, Lord, to receive you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would make us soft. Let us not just see this story, but let us feel it. Let it become real and afresh in a new way. Lord, help us to be reminded of your love, your sacrifice, and the power that you have over sin, hell, death, and the grave. Lord Jesus, we give you this moment and we ask that you'd be here with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Passover was always a season of memory, a time to remember how God once set his people free from Egyptian captivity. But this year, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, the memory felt like a promise. One hovering the centuries would be kept by this carpenter's son, Jesus. As he traveled with his disciples, they neared Bethphage in the Mount of Olives. Jesus requested a donkey and its colt from the city. As soon as you enter the city, Jesus told his disciples, you will see a donkey tied there, with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. He was setting the stage for a humble entrance that the prophets had seen centuries before. The disciples were hopeful that Jesus truly would become their king. Jesus, on the donkey, led the procession into Jerusalem. By the time he reached the city gates, the atmosphere was at a breaking point. People ran to meet him. They waved palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna!" Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, until the very streets seemed to quake. Amidst the uproar, the curious asked, "Who is this?" And the crowd answered, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." For the first time, the long-awaited deliverance from the weight of Roman cruelty felt like it was finally within reach. Passover, a lamb would be killed to represent the sacrifice protecting Israel's firstborn sons from the plague of death. Jesus wanted to remind his disciples, his closest friends, that he didn't come to be their king. Instead, he would soon become the Passover lamb. So later that week, Jesus sat with them at a table prepared with the Passover meal. A profound weight hung in the air. He looked at them, his voice quiet but steady. In the middle of the meal, Jesus took a loaf of bread. He blessed it and broke it with his own hands. Then, handing the pieces to his disciples, commanded them to take it and eat.
"This is my body."
Then he lifted a cup of wine. After giving thanks, he passed it to them. His words carrying the gravity of the moment, he commanded them to drink from the cup.
"This is my blood."
The disciples didn't fully grasp the magnitude of this moment. It was the seal of a new covenant poured out to forgive the sins of many. They were the symbols that represented Jesus' soon coming death. Even in that moment of sacred connection, a shadow remained at the table. Jesus looked around at the faces of his friends, men he had walked with, taught, and loved. He knew Judas would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Preparing for the suffering ahead, it was a heavy burden to bear. When the meal ended, they lifted their voices in a final hymn before walking out into the night toward the Mount of Olives. The group arrived at a grove of olive trees called Gethsemane. The air was still, but Jesus' soul was restless. He asked most of the disciples to stay behind, taking only Peter, James, and John a little further into the shadows. Even then, the sorrow seemed to overwhelm him, his soul crushed with grief. He asked them to stay and keep watch with him. Moving just a stone's throw away, Jesus fell to the ground. The intimacy of this moment was raw. The Son was speaking to the Father in the depths of agony. He prayed, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. If there is any way, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." In the stillness, an angel appeared from heaven to strengthen him. Yet his anguish only deepened. He prayed with such intensity that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Three times he returned to his friends, hoping to find the comfort of their wakefulness, but each time he found them surrendered to sleep.
Could you not watch with me for even 1 hour?
Finally, he stood and looked toward the flickering torches approaching in the distance. The time for prayer had ended. The time for sacrifice had begun. He demanded them to rise, his voice now steady and resolute. Let us go. My betrayer is here. The clanking of the garden was shattered by the rhythmic clanking of armor and the orange flicker of torches. Leading the way was Judas, not a stranger, but a friend. He had told the soldiers they would know the man to arrest because he would greet him with a kiss. Jesus watched him approach, his eyes filled with a sorrow that mirrored the anguish of his suffering. Judas stepped forward and greeted him and kissed him. It was a gesture meant for a beloved teacher, used here as a signal for execution. Jesus looked at him, the sting of the betrayal hanging in the air. Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? At that moment, the soldiers stepped out of the shadows to take him away. As the sun began to rise, Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. The people in the courtyard were confused and upset. Jesus had not come as their king to overthrow Roman power. They wanted a king, and he didn't deliver their request. The courtyard was a sea of noise, but Jesus remained a pocket of stillness at the center of the storm. He hadn't come to rule this nation. His love was bigger than that. His Father's kingdom was bigger than that. Pilate looked at the bruised and silent man before him, confused by the lack of defense. He asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Pilate was trying to find a reason to let him go. Jesus answered with a quiet authority that unsettled the governor.
"My kingdom is not of this world."
Pilate walked out to the shouting crowd, declaring, "I find no guilt in this man." But the voices of the people, fueled by the religious leaders, rose like a tide, drowning out reason and demanding a crucifixion. Pilate, seeing that he could not win against the mob, took a bowl of water and washed his hands in front of them, a hollow gesture of innocence. Jesus stood alone. He had been betrayed by a friend, abandoned by his followers, and now treated like a criminal. The King of Peace remained silent as the Roman soldiers clothed him in purple and crowned him with thorns. The climb to Golgotha was a slow procession of agony. Jesus knew this sacrifice was necessary because he was the lamb that would take away the sins of the world to deliver the people from the plague of eternal death. Jesus, weakened by the beatings and the heavy timber on his shoulders, was finally raised between two criminals. Yet, in the midst of the searing pain and the mocking of the crowd, he didn't cry out in anger. Instead, he spoke.
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
Even as the nails were driven, his first thought was of mercy. He looked at the soldiers, then the crowd. Finally, he thought of you and me. He was offering grace to the very people whose sins took his life. To the thief hanging beside him, a man who reached out in a final moment of faith, Jesus offered the ultimate promise.
Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
In his own dying moments, he looked down at his friend John and me. In a final act of tender care, he ensured we would look after one another.
Woman, here is your son. Here is your mother.
As the sky turned black at midday, a cry of deep spiritual isolation broke from his lips. He was carrying the weight of the world's brokenness, feeling the separation sin creates from a relationship with our Heavenly Father.
My God, why have you forsaken me? I am thirsty.
Jesus was fully God and fully human. The creator of the oceans, the giver of living water, now experienced the parched reality of our human suffering. A moment of raw human vulnerability.
It is finished.
This was not a cry of defeat, but a shout of victory. The job he had come to do, bridging the gap between God and humanity, was complete.
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
With his final breath, the struggle ended. He did not have his life taken from him, but he chose to release it, resting fully in the hands of the Father he served to the very end. Son! Oh, my beloved son! I keep going back to that quiet night the angel visited me. He will be great, he told me. Son of the Most High, he promised. He said Jesus would have a throne from David's kingdom. He said my son would reign over Israel forever, that his kingdom would never end. He should wear a crown, but the only crown he wore was woven from thorns. He was supposed to save us from our sins. How can this be now? I've pondered the angel's words in my heart all these years. I believed them. I still do. Jesus said he was the resurrection and the life to Lazarus and his sisters. If he raised Lazarus from the dead, surely he could raise himself to life. It's only been a few days since they buried my son, and I'm still so brokenhearted, still trying to sort all this out. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. It can still happen. I believe all things come together for my good. Father, I don't understand your plan, but I trust your heart.
I am the Son of the Most High. I am the Passover Lamb. I died to save you from your sins. I am the resurrection and the life. I am alive. I have risen from the dead, and I did all of this because I love you.
Wow, that never gets old. Every time I see that, I'm reminded that this is not just a story. He was a real man. He lived a real life. It was a perfect life. A life that you and I couldn't live on our own. He died a real death. But the great news of Easter is that he really rose from the dead. And the even better news of Easter is that he didn't just raise from the dead, but he rose from the dead to give us a gift of new life in him. There are those that have struggled with sin. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. Every one of us was born into this. We've made so many terrible mistakes in our lives, and we've tried to make it right, but we've just keep on making a mess of things. I know, because that's what I've done in my life too. But the truth is that I want to say this very clearly, that this free gift of God, this free gift of eternal life in Christ, is a gift that you have to receive. You have to make a decision whether you want this gift or not. You know, it's very clear that God is a gentle God, and he loves us very much. And he will not force any one of us to go into his heaven. As a matter of fact, that decision is very clear. It's ours. And if we live our entire life telling God that we don't want him in our lives, then at the end of our life, he'll honor what we've said to him. Very good. I won't be in your life. You know, some great thinkers and scholars have told us this, that hell is a place that is locked from the inside, not from the outside. That because of our demand to live life on our own, outside of God, outside of his compassion and his grace and his mercy, we have locked ourselves away from the Lord. So if you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up. I've thought wrong thoughts. I've said wrong things. I've broken hearts and other relationships. But I want to keep on trying to make things right on my own. I'm sure I'll get there one day. The hard reality is this, that consistently, constantly telling God no, it leads to a place where you'll never be in a relationship with him. You'll never have eternal life. But the good news of Easter is this, is that if you're here today and you know that you have sin in your heart and you want to make things right, the Easter message, the good news, is that all you have to do is acknowledge that you have sin in your life, that you believe in him, that is who he said he was, that he did what he said he would do, and he will do what he said he will do in the future. You confess him as Lord over your life. And then the great news is that you and I don't lock ourselves away in hell for all eternity, but he is here to free you from that. He is here to welcome you into heaven. He is here to forgive all of your sins, cleanse us from all of our problems, and to make us right with God. Something that only Jesus can do. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, that's me. I've tried and I can't do it on my own, and I just need Jesus. I'm going to make an opportunity for you this morning to respond to him, to this message. Because each and every one of us, don't mistake this, hear me clearly. Each and every one of us will respond to Jesus in the message of the cross this morning. Perhaps you'll listen, you'll shrug it off, and you'll walk out of here the same way you came in. Or perhaps, just perhaps, you're here this morning and you say, this time I'm going to accept it. This time is going to be different. This time I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. And if you're here and you do that, I want to tell you that you're going to make an eternal decision this morning. So I'd like to ask you all across this room, if you would bow your head and you close your eyes with me, no looking around, because this moment is a moment between you and Jesus, not you and the person sitting next to you, because I believe that the Holy Spirit right now is speaking to hearts and lives all across this room. You're here this morning and you can't get around it. You feel guilty. You feel the weight of your sin in your life and your heart. That's not just a coincidence. That's God calling you to him, giving you the opportunity to make things right. Standing within us saying, I died so that you can be with me because I love you. I want to make you right with God. You feel that weight and you want to make things right. Perhaps it's for the first time. You've never committed your heart, your life to Christ, or perhaps you're doing it again because it's been so long and life has happened and sin has gotten its way. This morning, you have the opportunity right now to accept Jesus' free gift. You're here this morning and you say, that's me, Pastor John. I want to make my life right with the Lord. I need Jesus to help me. I simply want you to raise your hand and acknowledge. I don't want to call you out or embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with this morning. If you're here, slip up your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to be able to pray with you. Thank you. I see you. I'm looking out right now. This is the most important moment. Thank you. I see you over here. Looking all over this place right now. This is why we're here. This is Easter, a time of rededication to the Lord. You want to make your heart right with the Lord. You want to commit yourself to him. I see you. Yes, thank you. Wow. Praise God. Now, here's what we're going to do, church family. I would like to lead all of us in a prayer because I don't believe that anybody should feel alone in this moment. And so I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer after me. Just say these words, and this is not magic. This is not mystical. This is just a prayer from your heart. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it, the Bible says you'll be saved. Let's pray after me. Jesus, I give you my heart. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me and I believe you rose again. Today, I choose to follow you. Please be the Lord of my life. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for what he's doing in hearts and lives right now. Praise God. You know, we're celebrating with you if you prayed that prayer from your heart. Right now, would you stand all across this room with me? Let's just give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Let's honor the people that have made a huge decision today. Wow. Now, we're not done because there were people that raised their hands. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to give you the opportunity as our prayer partners make themselves available to pray with you today in the altar area. If you raise your hand, I want to invite you to come and pray with one of our prayer partners. These people are not here to judge you. They're here to agree with you in prayer. Perhaps you raise your hand to commit your heart to the Lord for the very first time. We want to celebrate you. Perhaps you raise your hand to commit to him again. We want to encourage you in the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and you've already been saved. You've been set free. You're living for him. But you need prayer for your body. You need prayer for a relationship. You need prayer because you're making a big decision in your life. And you just need God to bless you. We want to be here to pray with you here as well. This time is why we're here. It's why we hear the good news, to have an actual encounter with the Lord. And so in just a few moments, we're going to continue to worship. You're free to come up and pray with a prayer partner. I want to encourage you to step out on faith and to pray, to worship as we continue to seek his presence. You know, there were people that raised their hands this morning, and I'm so excited that God is doing a work in your life as you committed yourself to him. But I want you to know this, that here in Christ's Legacy, we're not inviting you just to attend a church. We're inviting you to be a part of the family because you weren't meant to do this Christian life alone. You weren't meant to try to go it alone. You were meant to do life together. And that's what we believe here. That we help people find God, give hope, and do life together. And for those of you that have had Jesus in your life, you've made a commitment to him and you're living for him, I'm so excited to let you know that this message is also for you. Because of the hands that were raised today, or the hearts that were committed to the Lord, or perhaps there was a commitment made at the seat and you know about it. This is a moment that you and I are charged with the responsibility to love and to encourage and to support. We get a chance to do life together with everybody. So I'm grateful and thankful that you worship with us. I'm thankful that so many of you are part of this family. And I'm thankful that so many have made a commitment today. You know, that's who we are. That's what we're going to continue to do. And I want to say a prayer over you this morning as people continue to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this opportunity this morning to be reminded of the good news. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you came, that you lived a perfect life, that you died a sinner's death, Lord, that you were resurrected, and Lord, that you gave us life abundantly because of that. I thank you, Lord, for the hearts that were committed. I thank you for the hands that were raised. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the prayers that have been prayed. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't simply remember the resurrection today, but Lord, that we would walk out of here living as the resurrected today. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory as we celebrate this resurrection day. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Happy Easter, everyone. God bless you.